Jesus starts off this passage with a proposition. He says, if you abide in my word, and that means that everything that comes after that statement depends upon the if, the big if. Whatever else he says is contingent and dependent upon you abiding in his word. If you abide in my word, he makes three promises to us that will happen. Number one, he says, if you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples. Number two, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. And number three, if you abide in my word, the truth will set you free. Now, what does it mean to abide in something? To abide, when you look at that word in the Greek, it literally means to dwell in, to stay in, and particularly to continue in over a length of time. You're not just visiting. It's not like you just come in and case the joint and sneak out the back window like you're a thief. It's not like you just come for a little while, stay an hour and a half or two, and then yawn and stretch and say, you know, hey, it's getting late, I'm getting tired, I got to go to work tomorrow, I better go ahead and go. You guys have a blessed evening, I'm out of here. That's not abiding. When you abide somewhere, you come in and you unpack your bags. You open up the zipper and you lay that thing open. You start taking out your clothes. You bring in the furniture. You start moving in the couch and the love seat and the dining room table. You start hanging pictures on the wall. You know, when you start hanging pictures on the wall, you're not just visiting anymore, are you, Laura? It means you've come to stay. I'm there to abide. I'm not going home tonight. Man, I'm here to hang. I'm going to be here for a while, probably the rest of my life, Lord willing. Praise God. It means you leave your car in the garage at night. It means you sleep there in the bed and you wake up there in the morning and you shower there in the bathroom afterwards. It means you eat there and you relax there and you fellowship there and you send your change of address to the post office so that all your friends know that if they're looking for you, they can find you there. So it means you begin to live your life out of that place because now you are abiding there. This is now your home. So to abide in the word of Christ means if your friends are looking for you, they can look for you there because that's where they're going to find you. Now you are beginning to live your life out of that place. I'm starting to order my life according to the word. You look at my life, you should see the word of God lived out and demonstrated and manifested in my life because that's where I'm living now. That's become my priority. That's become my place of rest and relaxation and shelter and refuge and refreshment. That means I'm living my thoughts out of the word. My affections are set on the word of God. My motivation is out of the word of God, and it should be manifested and demonstrated in my life. That means I'm abiding, I'm dwelling, I'm taking my residence in and through the word of God. Amen? Praise God. It means you begin to believe what the word says to believe. And you begin to do what the word says to do, and you begin to stop doing what the word says to stop doing. And you begin to have a living, breathing relationship with the one whose heart and mind and character is revealed in the word. It means you start fellowshipping with the one whom the word is there to reveal and glorify. You learn to please him. You learn how to serve him. You learn how to love him, how to fellowship with him. And in that relationship, you also learn how much he loves you and how tender and compassionate and passionate he is about you. Yes. You say me. Me. If we abide in the word of Christ. Now, I took a bunch of notes on this stuff this week. Man, the biggest part of preparing this sermon was trying to figure out how much to leave out. And I've got like two pages of verses from the scriptures that talk about how critical and vital it is for us to continue in this faith that we have started, to endure unto the end, to continue in his word and to continue to abide in Christ. But I'm going to spare you guys. I'm just going to read two of them, because I don't want to keep you here for 3 hours. We got ham cooking in the next room. First, yes, sir. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, and do what? Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. He's talking to Timothy, a preacher in Ephesus. He says, continue in it. Don't just give it a shot. Don't just try Jesus. Man, when you go into the kingdom, I love the way Larry taught in a youth group at one time. You're not just joining a club, you're enlisting. Man, you're becoming a citizen of the kingdom. You're taking up residence there. Paul says, continue in the word, in the doctrine, because it will save both yourself and those who hear you. James 1:25, James said this, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. So it's not just visiting the Bible and saying, oh, that was inspiring. It's hiding that thing in your heart and letting it grow into you and letting it become a part of you so that you live it out and walk it out. Spurgeon said, if they cut you, you ought to bleed scripture, because it's a part of you. You're abiding in the word. We went to a Casting Crowns concert this weekend. It was a great time, man. I had a blast. It was a rocking band, but they were all about ministry. And I remember what the guy said. You know, they have an album, Between the Altar and the Door. And what he said was this, you know, sometimes you get convicted in church and the word of God will talk to your heart. And the preacher will give an invitation. You come forward for prayer and you do business with God up here at the altar and you get all convicted. But somewhere between when you're up here at the altar and when the time is that you walk out the door, something happens and you just kind of lose your follow through. He says, you know what? I want to have the same conviction when I walk out the door as I had when I was there kneeling in front of God at the altar, because I want to carry that conviction out into the world and let the world see Christ alive in me. Because if I lose that between the altar and the door, I've got nothing when I walk out there. You've got to continue in that if you want to reap the blessings that God has for those who follow him. Continue in the face of temptation, in the face of peer pressure, in the face of tribulation. In fact, that ought to be the time that you press in closest to God. When troubles abound, man, that's how he can show you what an awesome God he truly is. And James says the one who does that, who continues and perseveres in that, is the one who receives the blessings. I don't know about you, I want the blessings. Anybody here want the blessings? Bring it on, brother! That's what I'm here for. I want to know the fullness of God and the power of his resurrection and everything that comes with that. So praise God. What are some of the things that will happen to us? What will some of the things be true of us if we continue to abide in the word? Number one, Jesus said, you will be truly my disciples. Not just some fake disciple, not some wannabe disciple, not, well, you know, I did my best. Truly, you will be his disciples indeed. The Bible said that these Jews believed in him, but they didn't believe in him, if you get my drift. They believed in him. They believed he was probably the Messiah. They hoped that he would throw off the Roman government and that he would usher in an age of prosperity. Man, the good times are going to roll. That milk and honey that God sent us into this land to inherit, man, it's just going to abound. We're going to get fat and rich and lazy, and we're just going to, you know, we're just going to chill, man, because the Messiah has come. So they believed in him. But that wasn't the kind of Messiah he was. He said, man, I'd love to do that for you. Brother, I'm not that kind of Messiah. I've got something different for you.